Pick up a ticket, please.
Just one ticket? Is it just the one ticket?
Just one.
Can I just get you to sign that one?
Sure.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
For the moment, at least, coming from the State Sports Centre at Olympic Park, I'm here for some roller derby, dudes. God, it's so much easier this time compared to last week. Or sorry, last fortnight. Last fortnight, had to wait ages to get in. But on this particular occasion, easy. Talk more later.
G'day, I'm Irk, and belatedly welcome to episode 368 of Irk Pod. Coming to you from Sydney Olympic Park. And what I realised tonight at the roller derby is that the venue where the roller derby is held was formerly known as the State Sports Centre. It was the one of the first sporting venues, I believe, out at Olympic Park. It's now not called the State Sports Centre, it's now called the Olympic Park Sports Centre. I've just seen two bouts of roller derby. Not that I intend to make this a roller derby podcast or anything like that. There are other things to talk about, of course, but seeing as though I've just been to the roller derby and I've actually stayed and watched both bouts, whereas last fortnight, I left after the first one. Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, last time it was the first bout of the season and there were a few teething problems and they wanted to make it a big night in terms of getting the people in. And I've got to say, the crowds were pretty similar for both events. Probably a few down this time, but it's really hard to tell. With only four teams in the competition, it does make it a bit hard. Like, you're going to get the diehard fans, or people who are involved, or know someone who's involved, or whatever, and they'll stay there, and they'll come every week, or every bout, whenever it's on. It's usually at least once a fortnight at the absolute most, I think. It's a bit hard with only four teams, I think, but I'm not sure. I think there's also, this is the Sydney Roller Derby League. I think there's also local events, and the girls might also play in those events. It was a lot easier to get into the venue this time. Mind you, I was a little bit later. I sort of learnt from my experience of the first event, and I left it a little bit later. I pre-purchased my tickets this time, and this is one thing that really annoyed me when I purchased the tickets. Last time I rocked up and I purchased the ticket at the door for $24.95. This time I purchased a ticket online before the event at $19.50, but by the time that you added the booking fee, and by the time you added the pick-up fee, now I think the credit card fee from memory was $2.50, the pick-up fee was $3, and the service fee was something like $2, making a grand total of $27 on a $19.50 ticket. Now, if I had have rocked up at the event and paid my $24.95, it might have actually been easier for me to just purchase the ticket at the event. I think it'll be very rare, considering the size of the stadium that we're talking about. I don't think they're going to sell out. It'd be extremely unlucky to just rock up on the door and not be able to get a ticket. Especially considering the amount of people who must be let in for free, like all the players and the support staff and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So I'm just wondering, next time, would it be better to just wait in line? And today, because of the way I timed it, I wouldn't have had to have waited long. And then just rock up. I don't think you should be charged, especially if the only way that you can buy a ticket to this event on the interweb, of course, is using a credit card. And I believe that the type of credit card you have determines the actual fee. But there is no other way, apart from using a credit or a debit card, to be able to purchase a ticket over the internet. So I don't think they should be charging you the double whammy of a credit card fee and a service fee. But then again, on the other hand, why am I paying a service fee and a pickup fee? Aren't you servicing me when I pick the tickets up? All you've done is printed out the tickets, I give you my ID, and then you say, you know, look through your list that you've printed out, oh, here's your ticket, there you go. That's not $3 worth of work. I know that the people concerned, the ticket company concerned, would be making this decision, and not necessarily the Sydney Roller Derby League, of course, but having said that, well, it's making me wonder, should I bother to purchase a ticket online for $27 in advance where I can rock up to the venue and pay $24.95, bang, there's your ticket, thank you very much, thank you for coming. Now I've seen all four teams play. I'm not heavily into it, but like tonight, of course, there were so many events that I could have went to, but I decided I am going to go to the roller derby, because next week and the week after, I've got a big couple of weekends of music, so I just wanted to relax. I'm on early shifts at my place of employment, so I wanted to just relax and, you know, watch both games, and it was quite cool. And it was also quite cool to be on the, I was going to say on the pitch, on the arena is probably the better term. I was on the arena. What they have got a tradition of doing is they have a victory lap for the team that wins. And so the team that doesn't win, or in other words, the losing team, you know, we should be able to say the losing team, not the team who didn't win or the other team, the losing team. And the supporters who are sitting in the suicide seats, and the suicide seats are those that are actually on the arena that skaters could possibly skate into accidentally, and, you know, knock into you. You know, and all the officials and all the hangers-on and all that sort of stuff, they form around on the outside line of the arena, of the skating area of play, so to speak, and they put out their hands and the winners skate around and give you a high five as they pass by, and that's your way of saying in the crowd, you know, thanks for the entertainment, thanks for the, you know, the good bout. And then so the winners go around, and then they get onto the line, and then the losers go around and have their, you know, their high five. And it was actually good to be on the arena while this was going on. And it was good that me, a nobody who's really got nothing to do with the sport whatsoever, was able to get on there. And I actually had a guy say to me, "Hey mate, how you doing? Good to see ya." Which I was very surprised about. You know, it was good to be in, and this is going to sound really stupid, but it was good to be in range, up close and personal with the women who had just competed, and to see what they were doing while they were celebrating with the rest of the people who had, you know, competed. So I should tell you, I didn't tell you, by the way, that it is actually Saturday the 7th of July 2012 as I'm recording this segment of ERCOD for episode 368, something like that. I'll put the right number in the show notes, I promise. I actually think it is 368. Heading home after a interesting night of roller derby. Quite easy on the eyes, obviously. Tell you what, there's some serious women with some serious ink. Once upon a time, I used to be very anti-women with tattoos, but my stance on that has mellowed somewhat, especially considering that in the metal scene that I hang out with, it's reasonably uncommon, actually, to see a woman who is heavily into the scene without some sort of ink. Now, there is actually a growing trend of women with ink, and just this week, actually, the New South Wales Blood Bank, they've noticed that they've actually had a possible decrease in the number of people donating blood, because once upon a time, if you had a tattoo, and it was, you know, like a fresh tattoo, you couldn't give blood for 12 months after that, after the date of the latest tattoo. They've now reduced that period to 6 months. But I wonder if people think about that when they get tattoos. Apparently that some people do. And so the blood bank actually believes that there may be people who, get turned away once because you don't always know the rules. You think, oh yeah, I want to give blood. I know I did once, I wanted to give blood, but because I'd, within the last year or so before that, I'd actually had glandular fever, they told me that I couldn't give blood, so I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. Yes, you pull off the motorway right there. Okay, you do that. Maybe you won't be going 80k's an hour. Anywho, so they have noticed that, but yeah, oh my god, there was some women with some serious inkage. And I'm not just talking about the occasional tattoo, I'm talking about fully sleeved and all of that, half sleeves and all of that sort of stuff. The metal scene and the roller derby scene, I think, would actually go quite well together because they're both sort of alternative cultures, and I dare say that there would probably be some crossover between the two. I did notice that the last time I was there, 2 weeks ago, that they had a live band there, and the live band weren't bad musically, they weren't really suited to the actual occasion of fun and excitement and young people, Generation Y, Generation Z, all of that sort of stuff. They were more swingy, jazzy, blues, Generation X / Baby Boomers. And so the band really didn't fit the occasion, especially when after every song, the lead vocalist would say, "Thank you, boys and girls." Slightly patronising. And so I actually offered the Sydney Roller Derby League to put them in contact with some bands that would be suitable. Now, I'm not sure if bands would be every event or if it was just as a thing to celebrate their opening bout of the season. But some of the hard rock and metal bands that I know, roller derby's very grassroots, as is the indie metal scene, hard rock scene that I'm involved in. They'd be a good fit, and the bands, I tell you what, I think the bands would love not only the event itself, but they would also love the, they would also love the audience that they would possibly pick up, and it would be a very good match for them. But I haven't heard anything, so we'll just have to wait and see. As I'm recording this, it's 5 weeks from Merkstock. It's hard to believe that this time, in 5 weeks' time, I'll be in the middle of running my very first gig, which is exciting. Thankfully, I've got my friend Jen, helping me, so I'm not doing everything myself, especially on the day of the event. which is a great help. Especially considering that it is a party event for me as well, celebrating my birthday in the birthday month of August. Well, this last week or so has been very interesting at my place of employment. I've actually been with a driver trainer over the past week, going over some of the lines that I haven't been over for some time. Two of the lines that I went over the last week, the Cronulla branch and the Richmond branch, have actually had second lines added to them since the last time I was on them. So it was good to be able to have a driver trainer and another driver who's not another driver trainer, but he's a very experienced driver, along with me for the ride. So I was able to get some good seat time and go over these new routes. And I'll tell you what, it's very interesting going over a new section, because you get so used to running over the old section where, for instance, there's only one line, but now that there's actually two, and in one case there's a totally new station, and in other cases the stations have been basically rebuilt from the ground up. They're a shadow of them, of their former selves. It's very interesting to go over them, and you try to imagine what the line actually used to look like before we extended it. But sometimes it can be a bit hard to imagine. That's one of the many reasons why the interweb is very good in that regard. You can look back. I was looking at some old photos of the Richmond branch the other day, for instance, back in the, I think it was the 50s and the 60s, some of the photos I was looking at in black and white. And, I've seen lots of old photos from old places, and sometimes you get the basic shell. For instance, the Sydney Harbour Bridge is a great example of it. When it first opened compared to now, the Sydney Harbour Bridge had two tram lines on the eastern side, on the Circular Quay side, and then on the other side, on the western side, the Luna Park side, there was two railway lines. Now, the tram lines, of course, have long gone, and those lines have been replaced by two lanes of roadway, the Carl Expressway. So, when I see a photo of the Sydney Harbour Bridge from the tram era, I know it's the Sydney Harbour Bridge because the shape of the bridge itself hasn't changed. But you see the infrastructure's changed. There's no longer two tram lines there. There's extra two lanes of road. You get things like the electronic signs and even the cars themselves on the roads. It's all very interesting. Speaking of interesting, I mentioned a bit earlier that I've got a big couple of weekends of music coming up. Now, as this episode is being released, I will actually be preparing for a concert in the city, in a Moore Park. I'll be going to see Western Australian band Carnival on next Thursday night. This episode will be out by then. And then I'm staying at a hotel near the airport overnight, and then on Friday the 13th, ooh, that's a bit scary, Friday the 13th, I'm flying up to the Gold Coast. I've got an album launch that I'm going to on that particular night. Now, that's a scene I know how to be part of. I'm a little bit out of a, fish out of water when it comes to roller derby. I'm still getting used to who does what, and sitting behind the people who work the electronic scoreboards, interesting. But the metal scene, no problem. Saturday, I've got a massive gig. There's over 40 bands over 5 stages at the Dead of Winterfest. Sunday will probably be a relaxed day and a sleep day. And then on Monday, I head over to New Zealand. And it's actually going to be my first time in New Zealand. About three nights in Auckland, one night in Queenstown, and most of the day. So it basically works out to be 2 days, one night in Queenstown, fly back across to Sydney, and then head up to the Hunter Valley for another music event that following weekend, and then back on Sunday, back to work Monday. So that is going to be quite cool. I haven't been to New Zealand before. I know a few Kiwis. I know some Kiwi bands now as a result of Metal Monday on Oak FM. So that's cool. You know, it's not as if I haven't had the opportunity. It's only 3 hours or so flying time away from the east coast of Australia. I remember a few years ago, actually, I was flying from Brisbane to Perth, which took about 4.5 hours. And I was uncomfortable. I'd been at a car race all weekend. I was sunburned, I was peeling. It was a nighttime flight, so you couldn't necessarily do anything. I didn't really, well, not that you could use a mobile device on the aircraft anyway, but I didn't have interweb. So, and you couldn't really do a lot because a lot of people were trying to sleep. And so I kept on making trips to the bathroom, walking up and down the plane, peeling skin off of the toilet. And I remember talking to a flight attendant, and I'm thinking, and I actually said to her, "Oh, this flight never seems like it's going to end." At that stage, that was probably the longest trip that I'd made before, because it was before my US trip. And she says to me, "Well, by now, you know, we're about 4 hours into the flight by this stage. By now, you could be in New Zealand," which sounded rather cool, but I wasn't actually going to New Zealand, I was going to Perth on the other side of Australia. So it's actually quicker for me, and arguably cheaper, to fly from Sydney to New Zealand compared to Sydney to Perth, and that's in the same country. One advantage of going to New Zealand for me is actually that the exchange rate is actually in my favour. One of the few countries that I'd want to go, and I never thought I'd be able to say this, with the possible exception of America, because until the last year or so, the Australian dollar has always pretty much been under the American dollar. New Zealand's probably the only place, with the exception of America, that I'd want to go, that the Australian dollar is actually more than the other dollar. When I had a look yesterday, one Australian dollar was buying 78 New Zealand cents. So to put it in another way, one Australian dollar was buying $1.28 New Zealand. So I'm definitely winning. Definitely winning in that regard. As I said, I'll be there for a week. Another couple of stamps on the passport. Another couple of times through border security. And it will actually be my first time leaving Australia from an airport other than Sydney. Because when I flew to Japan last year and to Europe, I left Australia from Sydney, and when I went to LA in 2009, well, I again left from Sydney because that's my most convenient airport. This time I thought, well, I'm going to Brisbane for the music, so I thought, well, I could spend a week in Brisbane. I've done that before. I know people up there. Or I could take advantage of it. You know, it's been a fairly stressful in some ways 6 months, but in other ways it's been quite sweet. And I can take advantage of this week, and I can go back. I can go back home via New Zealand, so that is quite cool. So I'm looking forward to that. The music shows will be pre-recorded before I go. There will be some additional Erkpod content that you'll be hearing from me in New Zealand and also in Queensland. I can't remember if I actually recorded from a Brisbane train when I was last up there in 2006. I saw Natalie Girl Clumsy. That would have been about 2008. I know I recorded on the beach at Surfers Paradise. But I don't know if I actually... I can't remember if I actually recorded on a Queensland train or not. But I'm definitely doing that this time, and obviously it's my first time in New Zealand, so there's going to be a lot of reflections and ambient noise and all of that sort of stuff there. And lots of accents, bro. Accents. From New Zealand, bro. Cuz, E. Hang on, that was slightly Canadian. But, yes, it's going to be very interesting. As I said, I know heaps of Kiwis. I've seen lots of TV shows and documentaries from New Zealand, but it's actually, obviously, that's obviously a bit different to actually being there, and it's going to be cool. I'm actually trying to keep within the same sort of times that I've been going to bed. I've actually been getting up for the majority of this week at about 6 a.m. to either be where I have to be at 7 or 8 a.m. So most of the time, with the exception of the first couple of nights, it always takes me a bit of time to adjust. But this is the first time that I really had to get up early, although compared to some of the times that I would have to start on mornings, it's pretty late in the morning actually. You know, it's not really what you'd call a super duper early morning shift, it's more of a day shift job. But this is the first time that I've had to do it with the sleep apnea, and I've got to say, with the exception of the first couple of days, I've been sleeping pretty good. I've been going to bed about 7 o'clock at night at the latest. I mean, to get up at 6, because I want to make sure that I'm fully rested, because I am learning these areas and going over them and driving trains and all of that sort of stuff. I could stay up later, but you know, if I go to bed, I feel tired, I go to bed. And I've been, you know, feeling tired around about the same time each day, so that's good. I've actually been able to have some sort of routine this week, relatively speaking, compared to how my shifts normally go. It's very unusual to get a week where on normal duties where you could probably stay on the same time for the alarm each and every day. But this week it's been impossible, and so that's been really good. I think we'd have a lot less problems if people were able to get themselves into a routine. And there's no reason really why it can't happen. Some of the rosters, but I won't bore you with that. But getting into a routine has been awesome. And I'm relaxed. It's just approaching 10 o'clock. This was about the time that I went to bed last night. Actually, went to bed about 9:10. No, it would have been about 10 o'clock last night. I got up at 8 o'clock this morning without the alarm. I thought, well, whatever time I get up, and I thought, well, I'm up at 8 o'clock, I might as well stay up, because otherwise, I'll bugger my body clock up back for Monday morning, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to go to the roller derby this weekend, because I knew that by the latest it'd be finished 9:30, I'd be home 10:30, then I can go to bed. Whereas if I was to go out to a metal gig, for instance, and I just couldn't go for one band, you know, I'd want to be there right until the very end, and that wouldn't finish probably until 1 or 2am, and that's totally screwed up my... That would totally screw up my sleeping schedule. And this is the thing that I have to realise. While I enjoy the music and the podcasting and everything like that, it is not what's putting the food on the table and the money in my wallet and paying for, you know, my expenses and my holidays and whatever. My work is as a train driver. And from time to time, I have to make sacrifices and say, okay, I am not going to that gig because that will stuff up my sleeping schedule, or I happen to be working or whatever. And quite simply, that's all there is to it. And when I, go back to my normal roster and hopefully stay on my late afternoons that I like, there are going to be gigs that I can't go to, and I just got to deal with that, and I'm quite happy with that. Last summer, where I was able to go every weekend, was a bonus. Anywho, I'll leave it for there, signing off for Saturday night, the 7th of July. Well done to the beauty school knockouts, and also to the unicorns, Team Unicorn. I'm not going to call the episode Rainbows and Unicorns again, but it was really good. I enjoyed it, and back later with something else. Welcome back to ErkPod, episode, whatever episode number this is. I've lost track. Dateline, Sydney, Wednesday the 25th of July 2012. Coming to you from the Erkmobile on my way to my place of employment after an absolutely epic trip to Queensland and New Zealand. Now, something told me to delay the release of this episode, and I'm actually glad that I did, and I'm actually glad that I've managed to record it this way, so I can give you some good news. First of all, in coming episodes over the coming weeks, you will be coming for a trip with me to the Gold Coast, to Brisbane, and to New Zealand. You'll be coming with me to Auckland on the North Island and Queenstown on the South Island of New Zealand. So that's pretty cool. Lots of episodes coming up there. If you're a long-time ErkPod listener, you sort of know what to expect. As it's a bit of a travelogue, and some people have described it before as being there along with me for the ride. And that's a pretty good way to describe it. That's coming up from next week as I am recording this. So that's fair warning that that's coming up. I think to reduce the amount of time that it will actually take to get these episodes up, because I recorded quite a few episodes while I was over there, I'll be releasing episodes once I get them edited. I'll be basically putting out 2 a week on the Thursday and probably on the Saturday or the Sunday. So keep your eyes open for that. So if you wondered what I got up to on my holiday, I had a great time. I'll just say this now, I had a great time. It's great to be back. I'm feeling a little bit secondhand at the moment. I'm terribly congested in my chest at the moment. I'm taking some medication for that. Although I don't feel too bad compared to, say, this time yesterday. Speaking of yesterday, as I record this, regular listeners will know that I have had a long battle with, or what seems to be now a long battle with, sleep apnea. Yesterday, the 24th of July, 24/7, I underwent a couple of different assessments to allow me to go back to driving trains here in Sydney. Prior to my little vacation, I spent about 4 weeks in total driving with various people so I can get back up to speed, and so I've got my knowledge of the network back. In case you don't know, it's important to know the network. For instance, I'm driving my car now, and I'm driving it on the Northern Road at South Penrith, heading towards the M4 motorway. Now, it's not expected of me, as a car driver, to know every single road in metropolitan Sydney. That would just be impossible. You know, I can basically drive to the conditions that I can see them. However, with a train, it's slightly different. You know, apart from the fact that we're on rails, we've got, you know, maybe 300 tons of train, about 160 metres long. You know, and fully loaded, I can probably fit about 1,500 to 2,000 people inside. So to get the people there in the most efficient way, and also safely and everything like that, I have to know various things, including where the stations are, which stations I stop at on a particular journey, or which ones I don't, just depending on if I'm express or all stations. Things like signals, where they are, what the different signals mean, and things like hills. Train driving's not a case of just power around the whole time. It's not like driving, for instance, a Dodge car or even a regular car, where you spend the majority of the time on the throttle. I liken train driving in a way to driving a roller coaster. And sometimes you use the hills to your advantage. And so over the last few weeks, I've been regaining that knowledge because I hadn't been driving trains for about 8 months. A lot of things have changed. There's a lot of construction going on. And some of the areas where I've been, I haven't actually been there for several years. So over the last few weeks, I've been out and about driving over all the different sections again. And yesterday, I had my train preparation assessment, because those procedures have changed. And also, my driving assessment as well, which was quite interesting in the rain, but I did well. I've been assessed again as competent, and so this afternoon, the 25th of July, I'm actually on my way to my place of employment. I'm going to be on standby today, and for those of you who don't know, a standby driver is actually a very important person on the network. Whereas the, if everything runs well, you won't need the standby driver. But if something happens, for instance, if trains run late, you know, a driver gets sick or injured, driver needs to go to the toilet, you know, or there's, you know, worse things that happen. Well, instead of keeping the same driver on it, you know, the driver might be driving one train and they won't make it to their next train. So to avoid delays, they put the standby driver on the train. And so, to the passenger, or passenger doesn't care, they've got a driver on a train and it is going. Whereas, you know, I might have been on the same train for 4 hours and I desperately need to go to the toilet, and so instead of delaying the train while I do that, they put another driver on it. So that's going to be my role today. So I thought that I would bring you this update before the holiday episodes, which are coming up. So that is cool. Thank you very much for listening. I'm not going to keep talking the entire way to work, because I don't want this to turn into an episode of coughing. I hope you enjoy the holiday episodes. If you're into music, don't forget to also check out Oak FM, which is my music shows on Channel Oak, and also my gig Oakstock on the 11th of August at the Valve Bar in Tempe. If you're in Sydney, come out and say hi. I've got 7 absolutely epic bands of different styles, starting out from Belle and her Ghetto Rockers, and we move to Smoke and Mirrors, Vanity Riots, Hard as Nails, and then we get a bit heavier. We've got Attack the Empirical and Foundry Road. Until next time, I'm Eric. Enjoy the holiday episodes. Follow me on the social networks. Say hi. Until next time, thanks for listening.